It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. What a great service we had this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to try this. We have a new song. It's new to us. It's not a new song, but we've never sung it before. So we're going to try it tonight. I couldn't help but think. I don't know if it was last year, year before last. All of us that were here then will remember this. But some way or another, Brother Sammy got the wrong time, and he was here more closer to 6 than he was to 5. So tonight, he is here, okay? The good thing is, sometimes we are late, but you know Jesus is always right on time. Amen? Amen. And Brother Sammy's right on time here tonight. He won't come in, I guess, because he knows I'm talking about him. But anyway, when he comes in, just smile at him. And we're going to try and sing a new song to us. It's entitled, Right on Time.
They sent for Jesus, your friend's about to die, but tarried he still on behind. So they laid Lazarus in a tomb and said their last goodbye. But coming down the road was Jesus, right on time. Struggled through life's deserts, they were so hot and dry, till it seemed all hope was gone and I would die. And I wondered, where was he? Is he still a friend of mine? Then coming down the road was Jesus, right on time.
Tell you what, church, won't you stand with me? Turn over to page number 139. Page 139, let's stand and sing what they were playing a few moments ago at Calvary. Everyone stand, everyone sing. All right, sing with me now.
Jesus,
on the choir, you can be seated as well. Wow, what a great time we had in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
I was talking with the choir a few moments ago, and I said, you know what really sticks out in my mind is one phrase, Brother Don. And boy, it convicted my soul. We're the men.
Men.
Mm. That's quite a statement, isn't it? We're the men. The Bible would teach us as husbands and fathers that we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of our home. Where are the men? Let that ring out and just settle with your soul tonight, as it did with us this morning. But it is great to see you in the house of the Lord. In a few moments, we're going to take up our regular Sunday evening tithes and offerings. And then later, at the end of the service, we'll do the same as we did this morning. And you did really well. You did great this morning. But dig a little deeper, and let's give the group a great offering this evening. So we'll do that at the very end of the service. But again, thank you for being here today. And it's a great way to start off Jubilee. Brother Snyder in the morning, Brother Sammy in the evening. And we're going to hear from God tonight. I know we are. And I'm so excited to hear what the Lord has given Brother Sammy. And we're going to pray for him this evening. And we'll just look forward to what the Lord has. If you need to go to the restrooms, you go down the steps at the back there, down the steps. Or you can step out here down the hallway on the right if you need to do that. And if you need anything at all, catch one of our guys in the back. Have any kind of issues that you need to talk to someone about, and we'll do our very, very best to help you. Again, we consider it an honor that you would be here with us tonight. We also had Second coming. They did a tremendous job this morning. We look forward to what the Lord's going to, how he's going to bless him and bless us through them tonight. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask him to be with us in our service. Brother CJ, would you take us to the Lord tonight in a word of prayer?
As I look back on all of my days, so many times and so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, he's never changed. God is still good. There have been times that I've let him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows, palm of his hand, he will give grace and help me to stand. And although he knows how unworthy I am, God is still good.
Paid the debt on Calvary all alone.
While the choir is coming down, let me remind us all that each evening will start at 7 o'clock p.m. That's Monday through Thursday. We also have a junior jubilee downstairs. Brother Brian comes and he shares the word with our children, and he just does a tremendous job. I mean, if you've ever heard Brother Brian, you know that he's going to come down there and he's going to pour his heart out for Christ, for those kids. So you pray for them, and we just pray that the Lord would save someone, whether it be downstairs with our little one, or maybe some of us upstairs might still need to get saved. Amen? So, but we are looking forward to a great, great week. And you're saying, boy, that's going to be a long, tiring week. Well, just ask the Lord to give you just an extra burst of strength. Amen? I remember one year, I shared this the other night, and I'll be quick, but I remember one year I said, Lord, would you please wake me up in the morning early so I can spend some time with you? You know, early for the Lord is different from early for us. About 2 o'clock in the morning, my eyes popped open. I might as well have just got up, and I did. I went to the living room and spent some time with God in prayer. I'm telling you, Brother Sammy, he just poured it out on me. And so be careful what you ask for. But I pray the Lord to give you an easy week. You come every evening at 7 o'clock. You'll enjoy yourself. Some great men of God. Some great singing this week. But would you please make welcome back to Calvary this evening, Second Coming.
What a morning we had this morning in service. And the word that was brought to us from the preacher, I'm telling you what, it touched me too, Brother Allen, it did. And I want y'all to pray that tonight, that pray for our sound system. This morning, we come in, we did a sound check, everything was sounding great. You hear it now? This morning, I understood it when we started singing, I said, it's not right. It wasn't working right. So y'all just pray for it and pray for me and my nerves. Trials in my little lifespan. When I'm standing alone and the battle gets hot, I always do the best I can. I must have crossed a million valleys, must have shed a million tears. But when I come to the river of Jordan, hallelujah, then I'll have no fear. Then I'll have no fear. I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. Talk about me since I walked this narrow way, but it's just another little valley I came through it when I prayed. Now I've climbed a lot of high mountains, crossed a lot of little streams, but when I come to the river of Jordan, hallelujah, then I'll have no fear. Then I'll have no fear. I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. One and oh, he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. Climb one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, and then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand.
This is a song that everybody in this room is going to know. God on the Mountain. I'll go ahead and tell you what it is. Through our lives, listen to the words of this song. You know, it's easy to praise God when things are going good.
That's right.
It's not so easy to thank God when we're going through the bad things. But we should praise Him and we should thank Him whatever our circumstances, because you got to go through the test before you can have a testimony. There are things that you go through. I don't have that testimony, but there's things in my life. Sometimes people go through that and I can go, I understand, you know, been there, and I can help them the same way other people have helped me go through things. So sing along with us, because everybody's going to know this song. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change, and we're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, you're never alone.
And for the God on the mountain, He's still God in the valley. When things God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. And the God of the day, He's still God in the night.
I'll talk of my faith when I'm up on my, but my talk comes so easy, cause my life's at its best. But it's down in my valley of trials and temptation, that's when my faith is really put to the test.
And for the God on still God in the valley, when things go wrong. the God of the good times. He's still God of the bad times. The God of the day. He's still God in the night. Yes, the God of the day.
You all saw me trying to get up here on this stage. Besides, as Vernon will tell you in a little bit, I'm old. I just had a new knee. And you know, my precious friend, Deb, we were eating. Of course, that's one of our favorite things in the world to do. But we were eating, and she said, "How's your knee?" And I said, "Well, it's getting there." She said, "You know, let me just tell you something. Doctors can do a lot, and they have done a lot to help me, but they can't put you together like God did."
That's right.
It was perfect. Amen. He does everything perfect. He built for us a home that we cannot, in our feeble minds, imagine what That's it will right. be like. Build my mansion next door to Jesus.
A great Sunday so far, church. Our hearts were touched this morning by the preached word and all day long by the sweet fellowship. I had two friends of mine that came. They drove from Griffin this morning to be with us, and they told me before they left, they said, Donna, this is one of the friendliest churches that we have been in so far to come hear y'all sing. And Pastor, that speaks volumes to me. Amen. I mean, we've gone to sing in churches before that we didn't know if we were really welcome or not. But we went ahead and did what the Lord would have us to do, and it's been a blessing for us to be here today. We were sitting on the front pew, and right before church started, and here comes little Nate down to hug Jackson's neck. And he said, well, hey, Jackson, here he is. He's over here on the left, on my left, and so that he can watch Jackson play the drums. And he is, how old is Nate now? Nine, okay. 9 years old. And listen, and the doctors say that he doesn't comprehend anything. He'll be one of the first ones to get his, I don't know what he called, what does he call Johnny? He'll be the first one to get his dad to come down and pray. Don't tell me that he does not comprehend. Amen. And Nate, we want you to know that we love you. Jackson loves you. And what a blessing. And what a blessing that Jackson has been also to little Nate. And but it's a joy for us to see him over there. He's just standing over there watching. He's probably wanting me to be quiet so he can hear Jackson play. But we're going to sing a song now. It's become, I guess, my testimony song. The title of it is, it says that, Lord, I can't make it without you. And church tonight, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I hope that you don't leave this place without knowing him. It's the best thing that'll ever, ever happen in your life. I can guarantee you that. I don't understand the reason for this trial. Heavy burdens and this dark valley I walk through. And I can't call.
Make it. job. We're going to sing two more songs. We're going to sit down. But I wanted to tell Brother Allen, I did tell him up here, but I want to tell the choir that I love the songs that y'all sing. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You don't hear that kind of singing anymore. And I appreciate it. Not much, anyway. Well, we're going to do a song that's a good hymn song. It's in the book. It's on page 52. And we call it our audience participation song. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the person on either side of you. Get to know them. Because when we start singing, if they're not singing, I want you to elbow them real good and say, "You are not participating." Okay? Now, you're on your own once you do it, but... We're trying to participate ourselves up here. Well, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Jesus, hold my hand. Come on now. Well, Jesus, hold my hand. Thank you all so much for having us today, and we really appreciate it. The food was great today. The preaching was great. The service was great, and we just thank you so much. We're going to end with an old convention-style song, and it's probably one of the oldest songs that we do out of all the old songs that we do. So I thought it would be only fitting to have the oldest member of the group sing the song.
I told you he was going to tell you how old I was.
I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to tell
but
you she's old.
She has a birthday next week.
I do have a birthday. I'll be 79 years old. Yeah. And I said last night I would love to be able to sing for another 79 years, but Vernon quickly said it wouldn't be a pretty sight.
I said if we did, we're going to have somebody to load and unload that equipment. This is Miss Myra sings this old song. There's another one I'm sure that you'll recognize. If you do, just sing along with us. And I saw CJ in the back. He stood up immediately when we started singing the audience participation song. He did not want to get elbowed. I know that. So he just stood up. Thank y'all so much.
coming down tonight. I just wanted to, of course, introduce Brother Sammy. He don't really need an introduction. Been with us several times through the years and appreciate him. But his father, T.D. Burgess, which is in heaven right now. And, of course, his sweet mother, Miss Joy. Continue to pray for her. But Brother T.D., been a blessing down through the years here at Calvary. And, of course, Smoky Mountain Gospel Jubilee as well. And but it's such a blessing and honor and joy to have Brother Sammy Burgess with us, pastor of Gateway Church there in Cartersville. Would you please give him a warm welcome? Brother Sammy, you come along, brother. God bless you. We love you, man.
I feel at home when I come here. I don't know what happened to me from here to there, or from there, however you want to say it. I'm just glad to be in church. I'm glad for the journey. I'm glad for all that God's done for us. I'm glad for the memories. I'm glad for our future. I'm glad that He is still Lord. I'm glad that everything that y'all sung about, wonderful singing, and I appreciate that choir. You bless my soul. You've just pointed us to the one I want to talk about tonight, but I just want to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me. Bless His holy... I don't know what happened, but man, I just... As you you know, I'm a quiet person and not emotional. Y'all know that. And three of you have heard me preach. The rest of you haven't. There's just something that God wants to do tonight. And it's just all about Him. Pastor, thank you very much for letting me come and be here. I always look forward to coming. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I thought it started at 6, and so I got in touch with Snyder, and I said, what time does it start? I was at home at about quarter till 5, and he said, it starts at 5. I said, is that Alabama time? Because, you know, I didn't know. He said, no, it starts at 5, and so I got here, tried to get in touch with the pastor. I said, I'm going to be here as soon as I can. So last year, he texted me for 6 days. And today he's texted me. He waited till today. He texts me. Look forward to seeing you at 5. Praying for you as you preach at 5, you know. And so anyway, and then I got a text that said, we appreciate your sermon last year. We hope you do better this year. Your best friend, Snyder Turner, you know. So I'm going to try to do my best. Gina said a few weeks ago that she said, it's about time that you get the cards. And all of a sudden, it was about a week later, started getting cards. I don't know how many I have, but I want to thank you. I think the reason why I feel what I feel is because of the prayers. And I want to give honor where honor is due. You may never be seen, but in heaven, you're going to get your reward for praying for all of these preachers. It doesn't matter if you filled the card or if you just said you're praying for us. I'm here to tell you, it blessed my soul. And so I want to thank you for all the cards. And thank you for the singing and everything. I'm going to do something. I want you to go to Psalm 23 with me. We're going to read all 6 verses. We'll read one verse. You were talking about you wanted us to participate in singing. So while I was... And it said, elbow somebody if they don't know the song. So I was singing, and Snyder elbowed me. He said, quit singing. You know, as the Pastor Justin's always been nice to me, but when I came in the back door so I wouldn't see Snyder as much tonight. So I love you, church. Are you glad you're a Christian?
Yes.
Do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God? I don't want, this is familiar territory, even for people who don't know the Lord. But there are 6 verses here. I always say this. I preached on it last year at the beginning of the year. And I preached, it's on in 2023, I think. And I said, there are six verses, one for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you get your battery recharged on Sunday. Then you can read it over and over and over again. But I want to talk to you this evening on May I Introduce to You My Shepherd. Psalm 23. Will you stand if you will? Let's read God's holy word. You know I like to have fun, but I don't pick on the preacher much because I want to come back next year. So, and hopefully I will do better this year. And he saw me on TV last year, and he said, you just need to do a whole lot better. Anyway, Psalm 23, verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice verse number 1 is my text. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you don't make it, if you don't get the first verse, you can just read the next five verses. It won't mean much. But I want to introduce to you tonight my shepherd, because He's still shepherd. He's still Lord. He still can save. He can still go through you through the valley. He'll still be with you when you're by yourself. He's going to be with you in times like this. There's somebody here tonight. You're seeing everybody around you, and you feel just as lonely as though that you were all by yourself. I want to tell you, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Father, will you help us? And I pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, that the Spirit of God will help me. Can't do this without you. Lord, I don't want to give them information. What I want to do is inspire people to live for you. And if we can do it in 9 words with your help, I pray tonight it will alter our life. But let it begin in this boy right here that's behind the pulpit. Lord, I love Pastor Justin. I thank you for him. I thank you for touching his daughter the way that you did through the surgery. You brought us through, brought him through. And Lord, it's just, we have so much to be thankful for. But while we say amen and while we clap for what we've heard, it still does not cure a broken heart. So I pray tonight that the shepherd will so visit with us this evening, not just publicly, but also personally. We know you're with us, but I'm glad you come to us individually. Thank you for what the church heard this morning. I pray that they will act upon it. And Father, tonight I pray again in every man that preaches. Pastor Justin could pick anyone, but Lord, because you have given me an assignment, help me to fulfill it. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done, and your word is still true. And let it be real tonight in our life and change our life before we leave, for it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Somebody has said that Psalm 23 is everybody's psalm. You see, it's frequently taught to the children. It is faithfully quoted by the middle-aged. But then when you get older, it is fully experienced by those that are just waiting for our time to end. 118 words in just one psalm. Think about it. In the King James, 118 words. And every time I read it, Pastor, I'm thinking, what else could be said about our life? What else could happen? And what else could we need? But yet every time you read the psalm, it just gets bigger. It just gets stronger. You cannot exhaust it. I have preached through it 3 times. And the last time that I preached through it, I learned more about who my Savior and who my shepherd is. I believe tonight what we need to do is not try to let it be so familiar that we've heard it, but let it comfort us and let it help us, because I believe it's still the Word of God. It's just as much of the Word of God as much as it is as John 3:16 or John 14. It's still the same Word, and we better not get familiar with it. We better let it be a part of our life. So many times, I even had one of our members told me when I said we're going to go through Psalm 23. She said, I want to apologize. I said, why? And it was not because of my great preaching. I said, why? She said, because when I heard we were going to go through Psalm 23, she said, I just figured I've heard it before. She said, but God did a work in her life. And I'm here to tell you, it won't be because of the message, but I want you to listen to it just as though you'd never heard it before. Because we all need to have a contact experience with our shepherd. Dr. Charles Allen was dealing with a man that was an executive at a company. This man had tried every doctor. He had tried every type of pill. He tried everything to calm his nerves, and he lived day by day with anxiety. Dr. Allen said he didn't know what to do except for one thing. He said, sir, I'm going to write you a prescription. Well, he's in the pastor's office. He was thinking, man, a prescription. He said, here it is. He said, for the next 7 days, I want you to read Psalm 23 five times a day. When you first get up, after you eat breakfast, after you eat lunch, after you eat supper, and right before you go to bed, come back to me after 7 days and let me know. He said, when the man came back in, he was calm. The man's demeanor and his countenance was different. You know why? Because God's word does more. I'm not against medicine. But if when you read Psalm 23, it just fulfills every area of your life. Folks, it is supernatural. It is what we need for every day. You read Psalm 23, and it does more than philosophers could ever do. Did you know our world is looking for peace? Our world is looking for hope. Well, you find it in these six verses. And by the way, we talk about the shepherd and the sheep. But folks, there's really only two people in Psalm 23, and it's David and the Lord. 17 times David mentions himself, 13 times he mentions the Lord. But in the midst of it all, you see a fellowship that you won't find anywhere else. It is so personal. It is so real. And I want to just say this. If you want to enjoy Psalm 23, you got to know the shepherd before anything else. Because all this is going to be tonight is just information, and I don't want that. I want to inspire you and help you understand that we have to know the shepherd. We have to know who he is. And by the way, he is a shepherd. It not only will alter the way we live, it will also alter the way we die. Did you know this psalm is a victory psalm? It begins how knowing God personally in our heart and trusting him in our heart can help us to live. But it also gives to us living with God permanently. You know God personally, then you live with God permanently. But it all begins with a shepherd. But now I want to get very, very personal with you. The only three words that really stick out in my mind tonight, the Lord is. You think about what I just said. The Lord is. I believe if you get those three words, the Lord is. Let's say those three words together. The Lord is. Say it again. The Lord is. Let's ring this building. The Lord is. When you get those three things in your mind, I promise you one thing. When you hear these three words, it helps to build our trust. But it's not in you. It is in the God that lives within us. You see, David wrote about green pastures, but this psalm is not about rest. He describes death's somber valley, but this psalm is not about the final hours of death. David even talks about being in the house of the Lord forever, but this psalm is not the psalm about heaven. This psalm is about those three words. the Lord is. And he takes the rest of the psalm and he builds everything around those three words. I'm glad we can have victory tonight with just those three words, the Lord is. But it's not only a victory psalm, it's also a valley psalm. If you put things in perspective, there it's really a valley between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. Now, I'm an Alabama boy, but I think I got that right. Psalm 22 is before 23, right? And Psalm 24, because some of you look like I was crazy. I just want to make sure I got that right. It's a valley psalm. Psalm 22 talks about the cross. It talks about Christ. In fact, I believe it's more detailed than any of the four Gospels. And it details it. The very first verse is this. My God, have you heard those words? Why hast thou forsaken me? It is a valley of the cross. But in chapter number 24, it talks about the crown. It talks about Jesus being alive. It talks about him coming back one day. And right in the middle, there is a valley. And it's Psalm 23. You have the cross, you have the crown, but thank God we have comfort in Psalm 23. Psalm 22, God's the shepherd, we see the shepherd's grace. Psalm 23, we find the shepherd's guidance. Psalm 24, we find the shepherd's glory. Psalm 22, we see the shepherd dying. Chapter number 23, we see the shepherd caring. Chapter number 24, we see the shepherd returning. I'm here to tell you the only way to get to two mountains is you have to go from one mountain to the other. You have to go through the valley. But folks, when you go through the valley, just pay attention. You'll smell the rose of Sharon and you'll smell the lily of the valley. Everything you ever need in this psalm, everything you need in life is found in this psalm. It gives you stability. It gives you hope. It gives you help. It's work and it still works today. How do I know? Read. All right, let's just follow for just a moment. Just stay with me. You have your Bible open. Listen to what he said. If you lack rest, you're not going to have to worry about lacking rest or provision. Why? He makes us to lie down in green pastures. You don't have to worry about peace because you'll have peace. Why? He leads us beside the still waters. You will never again have to lack a restoration or encouragement when you faint, when you fail, or when you fall. Why? He restores my soul. You don't have to worry about the lack of guidance or fellowship. Why? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You don't have to worry about having courage. Why? Because he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You don't have to worry about the lack of companionship. You know why? He said, for thou art with me. You don't have to worry about having comfort. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You don't have to worry about protection. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You don't have to lack power because he anoints our head with oil. You don't have to worry about abundance. My cup runs over. You don't have to worry about God's consistent presence because he said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. How many days? All the days of our life. And you don't have to worry about lack of security because we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In this psalm, it tells us we can be content, we can be committed to him, and thank God we can close life with him. And until he comes or until you draw your last breath, I sure am glad that we have the shepherd with us. Amen. When you talk about the shepherd, he's always there to give our past guidance that we need, to meet all of our needs so our lives can be protected. You see, before the oil dripped on David's head to become king, he was a shepherd and he knew exactly what he was talking about. But David's no longer a teenager. He was up in his years. He's now king, but he still cannot get over it. You know why? Because he said there's just something about him being the shepherd. The Lord is. Notice those nine words again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want everybody to look at me for just a moment. He did not begin the psalm by asking for anything. He began his psalm by giving us the answer to our questions. He said, the Lord is. Hey, we all have needs, don't we? We all have problems, don't we? Oh, I meant to tell you, if you don't say amen, I'm going to preach all night. Are y'all with me? I know you are. There's just a presence of God. But here's what I want you to understand. He's not asking for anything. All he's just simply doing is saying, if you want your life to be settled, and if you want your life to have peace, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So what does he mean? Well, just let me give to you three things. Out of that one verse, are y'all with me? Say amen. And what I want to do is just help you this evening. Number one, how amazing the Lord is. The Lord is. From the very first part of this chapter, we can relate and we can know that He is our shepherd. The word Lord just simply means Yahweh or Jehovah. And it really is when the name Yahweh was so sacred that the Jewish high priest would only pronounce it one time a year in the temple. And even then, they would pronounce it behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. Jewish people considered the name too holy to be spoken by human lips. Whenever they needed to say Yahweh, or they substituted for Adonai, which means Lord. And they, if the name needed to be written, the scribes would take a bath before they would write. Then they would write that with that pen, and then they would destroy the pen. What David is saying is this. When he got to the Lord is, he's amazed. Why is he amazed? He said, because he's Yahweh. He is Jehovah. He's the self-existing one. He has no beginning and no ending. You may not get anything out of this, but I'm preaching to myself. I'm here to tell you, I serve a God. That's the great I am. You see, his name describes what we need. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, the Lord is really incomplete, which simply means there's a lot to be added to it. The Lord is. Well, I'm glad he is our shepherd. Shepherd tends to his flock. The shepherd always watches over the sheep, treating them like their own. It's just like family, providing safety and welfare of the flock of the sheep, grazing the animals, herding them to areas to good grass and food, keeping a watchful eye out for poisonous plants, shearing the sheep and guarding the flock and predators, watching out for the health of the flock, preventing diseases and healing injuries. What he's simply saying is this, the shepherd's life is in those sheep. And by the way, he's not just a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd, he's a great shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd and a great shepherd, he is the chief shepherd. I'm glad he is the good shepherd. And in fact, in John's, he said, I am the good shepherd. Now you'll like this. That just simply means he was claiming to be God. And he is God. You see, he said, I come to lay down my life for the sheep. What this shepherd would do is this. That shepherd would get the sheep in the fold. He would go to sleep right outside the gate where they were. It's almost like with one eye open and one eye closed. He said, I am willing to give my life for the sheep. Hey, people don't choose to die. We were born, and when we did, the very second that we were conceived and we were in the mother's womb, we began to die at that very second, all because of sin. I don't want to die, but one man came and he chose to die. I'm glad of that. And because of what he did, he is the good shepherd. It was not the nails that held into the cross. It was the golden bonds of a redemption and the love of the blood that he shed so you and I could have life. He's the great shepherd. See, he's the good shepherd. He died. By the way, that still works in 2025 too. It's still just as true now as it ever has been. You see, the good shepherd becomes the great shepherd because John 10, verse number 18, he said, no man taketh my life, I'll lay it down. Now listen, I love this. You know, sometimes people don't get it. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Y'all just sit there. Y'all just sit there. You see, not only did Jesus die as the good shepherd, but he didn't stay dead very long. Because after the third day, I just don't think Baptists know when to grunt or shout. But we ought to rejoice in the resurrection. Paul said, if Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. We be in our sins, and that which has fallen asleep in Christ would perish. But I'm telling you, when Jesus came, he not only lived, he not only died, but he came back alive. That's very important. Because back then when a shepherd was tending to his sheep, when he died, those sheep were they had to tend to themselves. And they're so dumb, they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what field to go to. When their shepherd died, that was it. And any shepherd could come and get them. But thank God 2,000 years ago, my shepherd died for us. And he went to the tomb. But 3 days later, he came up out of that grave to let us know that no matter what, my sheep will never have to face anything alone. I'm glad, thank God, he's alive, aren't you? He's also the chief shepherd. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I just wonder sometimes that he's just ready for us. He wants us to be with him. I think sometimes we need to understand, folks, we are nearer to the coming of the Lord. You know what? I think I say that about every year. But I think we're closer to the coming of the Lord than what we have ever been. Somebody said, how much worse is it going to get? Hey, it's not getting worse for me. It's getting gloriously bright because everything that's happening right now, I know I've got a good shepherd. I know I got a great shepherd. And I know I got a chief shepherd who's not just sitting in heaven, but he wants us to be with him. You read his prayer in John 17, verse number 23. He prayed that my children would be with me. Every time a child of God, thought about this when your mom passed away. Every time a child of God goes to home to be with the Lord, they're not heartbroken. We are. But his prayer is answered. Why? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But thank God one day he's coming back for every one of us. See, in the Good Shepherd, we have been saved from the penalty of sin. As the Great Shepherd, we've been saved from the power of sin. And because of the chief shepherd, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. And I say amen to that. That's why you find Psalm 22 and Psalm 24 there. Psalm 22 talks about his death. Psalm 23 lets us know that he's alive. He said that he would, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. How many days? How many days? So that means he's alive. Am I correct? So he went to the cross. He gives us comfort. But thank God one day he's not going to forget us. He is coming back for us. Life begins with a good shepherd. It continues with a great shepherd. And thank God it will end with the chief shepherd. What I'm trying to say is the Lord is. The Lord is. He's a shepherd. He's also sufficient. The Lord is. He is the I am. Did you know the shepherd always thought about where those sheep were going? Why? Because he went ahead to give them green pastures. Are y'all still with me? He always went ahead of them. Never to leave them in danger, but went ahead of them. To let them know that I am going to take care of you. When he goes through the valley of the shadow of death, that valley just keeps getting narrow and narrow and narrow. That's where the predators are there. They're ready to eat the sheep, but the reason why that they won't, there's a shepherd that is leading them, to let him know, I am. Hey, church, it doesn't matter how dark it is. He is the great I am. The Lord is. If you're wounded, he's the balm in Gilead. If you're weary, he's the burden bearer. If you're woeful, he's the blessed giver. If you're wayward, he is the beckoning father. If you're wicked, he'll blot out your sins. If you feel helpless, he'll care for you. If you feel hopeless, he'll come to you. And if you're hurt, he'll comfort you. The Lord is. See that little word is? That's not a promise. It is a being verb, which simply means it's in present time. So this little word is implies something's going on at this very moment. You sit there, I'm about to have a spell. That little word is just simply means he's active right now. He's watching over you right now. While we're here in church, he's already covered you for Monday. So why should I not have to worry? Because the Lord is. I just want to say one more time before I go on. He'll help us to act better, live better, talk better. He'll help us to sleep better. He'll help us to enjoy life better when we know the Lord is. And I just want to say, thank God he is, and he always will be. I just want to introduce to you my shepherd, the Lord is. He's amazing, isn't he not? How amazing the Lord is. I'll just give the other two. How comforting the Lord is. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say it was your shepherd or somebody else's shepherd or our shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. The secret, you hear me, the secret to victorious living is not trying to explain the Lord being a shepherd. The secret of true living is experiencing a personal relationship with the Lord as being your shepherd. Dr. Adrian Rogers, I've got just about everything that he's written. But I love what he said in Psalm 23. He said, there is only one way to know that the Lord is your shepherd, and that is to make sure that the shepherd is your Lord. Can I have you do something for me? Will you take your Bible quickly to John chapter number 10? I want to show you something from God's Word. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, personal. John 10, notice verse number 14. Because if you belong to the shepherd, I want you to understand, you'll know him. He said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Now listen, and am known of mine. Verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Here's what a sheep will do. He'll listen to him, he knows him, he'll obey him, and he'll follow him. Sheep need a leader. Sheep don't know where to go. And some of you have been there before, to where you say, what do I do? That's where the shepherd comes in. That's when we need to listen. That's when we need to trust. That's when we need to know him more than anything else. Hey, it's not a matter of end time. He's on time, and he wants to help you. But you got to know him. You've got to know him. You've got to know him. Not about him. You got to know him in your heart. I sure am glad he gets up close and personal with every one of us. See, not only is a shepherd is a personal matter, but it's a peaceful matter. I'm telling you, what brings peace to my heart is to know that I have Him who is in heaven now living in me, because one day the one who lives in me is going to take me from here to be with Him. But until He comes, thank God, He will give us perfect peace. Why is it that so many people have trouble with the good and great and chief shepherd? You know why? Because we think somehow He needs our help. Well, I got news for you. He don't need our help. We need His help. I was sitting there, preacher, beside Snyder, and I was thinking, you could have chosen anybody to stand here tonight. I still don't know why you chose me. Thank you. But then I really got to thinking, why did He choose me? They'll put you in your place, would it not? They'll knock the pride out of you. A lot of times preachers said, if I can just get the pride out of somebody, well, just think about who lives inside of your heart. And if it had not been for Him, you're not going to heaven. But it's because of Him living in your heart, we are going to heaven. And all God's people said, He said He's personal, but He gives us peace. How amazing the Lord is. How comforting the Lord is. But how satisfying it is. The Lord is my shepherd. What's those last four words? I shall not want. Let's say those together. I shall not want. The Lord is. I think there was one little girl that if the Lord ever was going to change words, he would have done it for her sake. You know how kids are, I love them, and they get nervous when they're up in front of people, but this little girl was supposed to say Psalm 23 and quote Psalm 23, and she couldn't even get past the first verse, but I think she nailed it. I will never add anything to the Word of God, but I think the Lord heard when she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I got all I want. I just want to tell you, where else you're going to go? I get tickled sometimes at myself. I get tickled sometimes at people. You know, we come to church and we try to put on this front like there's nothing bothering me. But yet when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you push Him aside. I've got this. No, you don't. Because He's all you need. And when you realize He's all you need, you realize He's all you had to begin with. He's not going to abandon you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There'll never be a moment when you're in need. You may not have what you want, but you'll always have what you need. There are people that right now are trying to find happiness in possessions, in persons, in people, in places, in pills, and in pleasure. The satisfaction you are looking for in possessions is found in the riches of my shepherd. The arms that you're searching for in that person is found in the arms of the shepherd. The happiness you're searching for in the worldly places is found in the presence of the shepherd. The rest you're looking for is not in those pills. It's in the promises of my shepherd. The peace that you're searching for in earthly pleasures is only found at the feet of the shepherd. Did you know the reason why that you'll never be satisfied with the worldly things is because they were not designed to give us peace? Don't ask me to say that again. I just forgot what I said. Are y'all with me? Everybody goes to look for everything else and then come back and they say, what's wrong with me? The world has never been designed to take care of us. Ask the prodigal son. He went out. He wasted his substance on riotous living. But when he came to himself, he realized, for the first time, I had it better at dad's house. I had it better with him. I don't know how long he stayed, but he stayed long enough to get sick and tired of himself and sick and tired of what the world gave. You said it stripped him of it all. Yeah, but it got him back to his dad. I'm here to tell you, if you want to get back to the shepherd, then understand everything else will give you no peace whatsoever. C.S. Lewis said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, listen, the most probable explanation is I was made for another world. Hallelujah. I want to close. This is the third time I've closed. But I want to close with this. To know the Lord as your shepherd and be known by the Lord the shepherd is the purest, sweetest form of intimacy. The more you know him, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you want to serve him. And the more you serve him, the more you understand this life does not belong to us. It's not about us. It's all about him. And all God's people said, amen. Every book has a key. And it opens the door. Here's the key that opens up Psalm 23. The Lord is. Going through a valley? The Lord is with you. Been depressed? He makes you to lie down. I'm not going to go through the whole psalm, but until you get those three words, the Lord is, in your heart, you'll always be searching for something more. And it will not satisfy you one bit. And especially when you come to the point of death. But I'm glad, thank God, David knew the shepherd. I know the shepherd. How many of you know the shepherd tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
There's a little boy. I got a little boy on my team, my baseball team. I think he's 9 years old. Mom and dad came up. Kid never played ball before. Came up and they said, our son is going to get to play ball. I said, great. And I don't know the family, but here's what they said. He's now 9 years old. He's now cancer free. And I like to hit the ground. I thought, man, we have a lot. We complain about a lot. That little boy, I don't know what he went through. And he can't catch a ball. But I'm going to enjoy him all year. Because if a kid had cancer and overcame that, and I don't even know if he's saved. I don't know if the family's saved. I pray that I can witness to them. What I'm trying to say is sometimes sickness comes, no matter what age. One little boy was real sick, and he was not going to get well. He was around 9 years old. And his mama watched him as he grew worse and worse. And so she went over to him and taught him this one verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he really couldn't get I shall not want in place. So here's what she said. She said, here's the way we're going to do it. I want you to do it this way. Thee, just five words, Lord is my shepherd. It's the ring finger. And she said, every time you feel anxious, just quote, the Lord is my, and she said, when you get there, grab that finger. Because he's yours. And you belong to him. The Lord is my shepherd. When that little boy died, they came in his room, and you know where his hand was? It was on that ring finger. Where we want the little boy to live, he knew what life was all about. It's not in this world. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm telling you, it still works. He's still here. And you don't have to leave tonight without him. And you don't have to leave tonight depressed. You don't have to leave lonely. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. I want to introduce to you my shepherd. His name is Jesus. Will you stand to your feet if you will? I'm going to turn the service over to your pastor in just a moment, but here's my call. Here's my prayer. Church, what I want us to do is this. Think about those three words, the Lord is. And what I want you to do is put it and apply that to your life. The Lord is. If He's your shepherd, you ought to praise Him. If He's not your shepherd, realize that you're not going to heaven without a personal relationship with Christ. We had a baby dedication this morning. I made it very clear. We are not praying over this little baby to save that baby. It's not the way salvation works. It's not children's baptism. It is being birthed into the family of God. So here's what I want to ask you to do. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to think about this. Do you want to go to heaven? Are you sure you want to go to heaven? It's only through Jesus Christ. For those of you that know you're saved, then what you need to do, you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and you've asked Him to come into your heart. You believe He died for you, and you believe He rose again, and you've done all of that. But man, you need some help from the shepherd. I'm glad the Lord is. That's all I'm going to say. I'm glad the Lord is. So apply it to what you need. Father, I don't know who it is you're speaking to, but you burden my heart tonight. You burden my heart just to let them know they're not alone. Somebody needs guidance. Somebody needs help. Somebody needs the shepherd. Whatever it might be, I'm asking you tonight to let Him help you. Thank you, Father, for being our shepherd. In Jesus' name.
What would I do without Jesus, shepherd of my valley? Lord, I couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
Feel free to come tonight.
When my tears flow like a river and my burdens are high as a mountain, and the ones I've counted on have let me down, that's when I go to Jesus. He's the one that I can count on. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? What would I do without Jesus, shepherd of? Lord, I couldn't walk this road alone.
Trust the shepherd tonight.
When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, He's my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? Someone to talk to, He's always there to listen, and with His arms fold about me, He rocks me in His bosom. What would I do without Jesus, shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
Plenty of time tonight if you need to come.
When my tears flow like a river,
shepherd tonight,
and my burden,
you're allowing Him to guide
the mountain, the ones
I've counted on him, let me down. That's when I go to Jesus. He's the one that I can count on. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? What would I do without Jesus, Shepherd of my valley? Lord, I couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, He's my water. Without Jesus, what would I do? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
Amen, amen. Of course, we have a couple that's finishing up, but did you enjoy the message tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Sammy. Really appreciate the message, brother. And you know we're being stalked tonight, right? You know that. We're being stalked. Psalm 23, that last portion there, it says in verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. We're being stalked by the goodness and mercy of God. Amen. He says, all the days of my life. What a blessing tonight that the goodness of God and His mercy is after us.
Yes.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, Second Coming, so very much for coming our way. And could I get a couple ushers down front? I didn't forget tonight like I did this morning. And I want to pop up here right quick so I can get a better view. And anyway, they're coming, and while they're coming, I just want to mention tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and Carl Partain family will be here singing, and Brother Carl will be preaching, and brought a great message last year on the mind, and so we're looking forward to that again for him coming to bring another great message tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Also, Junior Jubilee downstairs, and we do have nursery all week long, and so please make plans coming back and being with us. All right, so let's bless this offering. Again, this is for the singing group tonight, Second Coming. Please give unto them as you've been blessed. And so Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, we praise you for the great music that we've heard, music with a message. Lord, we just honor you and praise you for their group and how much they mean to us. Lord, pray that you give them travel mercy and safety back home tonight or wherever they're going. Thank you for Brother Sammy bringing the message by tonight from heaven. Lord, I pray that you bless him and his wife, Miss Gina. God bless this offering. I pray, Lord, that we would give from a heart of love and gratitude tonight. We love you, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.